some very strong, some praising, but many highly critical. Carter Newman says, I like this. This I've already encouraged you before. I'm encouraging you again. Write. That's spelled W-R-I-T-E. Write. What it most takes, says Newman, to write, is humility. There you have, right in front of you, your own mind. What lowbrow, what nincompoop, put these words on paper. Mary, therefore, in her humility, recognized that before God, she was nothing. But she also recognized that because of God, she was not nothing, but had been gifted beyond all other human persons. Christ, your divine Son, is a divine person. And this is where we, oh, I say this with sorrow. Who would think that one city I know well, that most of the people of Chicago are professed Roman Catholics? You never guess, never guess. By reading the Chicago Tribune or watching, as people tell me, Chicago television. We are gifted as Catholics beyond all human beings on earth. We have the truth, the fullness of the truth revealed by God. So how are we using that truth? How zealous, how courageous, how outspoken are we? More than once, when I've met Mormons or Moonies in airports, I've told them, introduced myself. First of all, they come always trying to sell their trade. And more than once, you can have this for nothing. Thanks, I would tell them. Your presence here in the airport saddens me, because Catholics should be here proclaiming their faith, and they're not. I think I told you about the two Mormons from Salt Lake City came to New York to convert Father Hardin. My heart went out to them. I praised them for their zeal. And I told them what I'm telling you. I'm sad, sad to think that we who have the fullness of God's revealed truth, but now we've got 1,000 reasons for not sharing that truth with others. I just faxed a letter to the Archbishop of Moscow, where, please God, I should be going on the 15th of January. I'm told he is living in dire poverty. The Catholic Church is not welcome in Russia. And we don't have to go to Moscow to find, what shall I call them, potential converts. I want to tell you, this lecture is not a pious homily. This is a lecture hopefully to inspire all of us to follow in Mary's example. And notice here is not a matter of preaching. What if we are gifted to communicate, we should communicate. Once more, we turn to our own day. We are living in the most arrogant age in human history. I see this with full awareness of what I am saying. What makes arrogance so sinful in countries like our own? Either these countries had received the gospel, they had had the true faith preached to them. They had for generations the example of people who humbly accepted the teachings of Christ, the doctrines of Christ's teaching through the magisterium, the example of humility among bishops, humility among priests, humility among religious, humility among the laity, whose humble lives of faith and obedience inspired unbelievers to believe. Just the other day, without naming them, three bishops, headlines of the papers, blasting the Bishop of Rome for his teaching on homosexuality. I'd rather die, crawl under the cement floor on which I'm standing, than have to say this. But somebody had better say it. What happened? The evil spirit has sown the seeds of dissent among scholars. Seeds of disobedience in high places. And coming down even to children who are trained to assert their independence of their parents. That's the way it is. That's the new pedagogy. People now are trained to sow seeds of discord among the clergy and of disarray among religious. Never in the annals of Christianity has Mary's humility been more needed than today. Christianity is a religion of humility. To evangelize, or as I'm repeating, to re-evangelize a world like ours, with its phenomenal wealth and power, with its sophisticated academic education, with its bombardment through the media of self-assertion, self-advancement, self-adulation, self-admiration, self-acceptance, that I do not hesitate to call self-adoration. We deceive ourselves if we think a paganized society of our day is going to be converted back to Christ unless it learns from Mary, through us, the meaning and indispensable necessity of humility. What work we have, beginning, I assure you, with this sinner. Finally, Mary, as the teacher of loving the cross. We may speak of Mary's motherhood on two levels. Here's first of all the physical mother of Christ, or the mother of the physical Christ, whom she conceived at Nazareth and gave birth to at Bethlehem. But Mary is also the mother of the mystical Christ, which is the church. And shall we say whom? She assisted in coming into existence on Calvary. Don't forget, the church was born the moment Jesus died, and Mary was there. It was on Calvary, therefore, how the mystical body of Christ the Church came into existence. It was the passion and death of Christ which brought the spouse of Christ once more, the Church, into being, and was the passion of Mary. Christ went through his passion. She went through her compassion with Christ on Calvary and under the cross, which then her compassion cooperated with his passion to generate the mystical body of Christ on Good Friday. We would be raving fools if we thought the church would even be preserved, not to say advanced, and least of all to be restored, to be reconverted, without Calvary and the cross. There is no other way, no other way. If there is one theme running through the teaching of Christ, it is the obligation of his followers to carry their cross, even as Jesus carried his cross on the way to Golgotha, and to learn from the example of Mary, whose soul was pierced by the sword from the time of Simeon's prophecy at the presentation to his final experience on Calvary. Hope I'll be clear what I want to say next. As you reread and meditate on Simeon's prophecy to Our Lady, a sword will pierce your soul. But, said Simeon, it will be because Mary will have witnessed her son being rejected by so many. The sorrow, as some of you parents know, of raising children who no longer share your faith. My own sorrow of my own fellow Jesuit priest whom I taught and trained, who lost the faith, left the priesthood, and some of the most outspoken enemies of the church. The greatest sorrow of a lover of Christ is to see those whom we love abandoning, discarding the most precious treasure we have on earth, our one true Catholic faith for the last time in our shift from Our Lady. We turn to ourselves in the modern world with emphasis our own modern present-day America. It is now close to 2,000 years since Christ came into the world, and yet less than one-third of the human race even heard the names of Jesus and Mary, has never been baptized, and knows nothing of the real physical presence of Jesus Christ on earth in the Blessed Sacrament. The reason why is not hard to find. Over these past 20 centuries, those who had received the true faith have not been zealous enough in sharing with others what they had undeservedly received from God. I don't want to be as strong as my vocabulary will allow me. Why has evangelization, even the gospel is preached, why has evangelization not been more successful? Why in a country where I can say with justifiable pride, and a country watered by the blood of my Jesuit martyrs, why have we fallen into the condition in which we now are? I must say it. God knows the final reason. One reason, I think, is because those who believe in Christ, well, they seem to be Christians and Catholics. Even those who promote the gospel have not been willing, like Mary, to suffer with Mary's son, to suffer like Mary's son, to suffer for Mary's son. And now the clincher. Unlike Jesus, Mary lived by faith. Christ did not have, because he did not need, he couldn't have had the virtue of faith. He was the living God in human form. He saw the face of God. But Mary believed. And yet, she suffered. And she loved to suffer. Ah, only Mary could teach us this lesson. The deepest joy on earth is to suffer for Christ. Let me repeat. The deepest joy on earth is to suffer for Christ. Ah, but those words better be more than trilling syllables. They better have meaning and must be lived and not merely mouthed. As we've said more than once, in the early church, the phrase was coined, Sanguis Martyrum, Semen Christianorum. The blood of martyrs is the seed of Christians. It is not for nothing that Mary is honored by the church as a queen of martyrs and simultaneously as a queen of apostles. In the final analysis, she is the mother of evangelization and re-evangelization because she was ready to suffer in her heart with the sufferings of her divine son. She suffered to see him rejected. She suffered to see him opposed. She suffered to see him betrayed and condemned to death. to see him crucified. And as the fathers of the church say, she was so close to him on Calvary that she was covered by his dripping blood. I like that. But this is the great hope of the church as we enter the 21st century. The prospects for the church and for our own United States are brighter than ever. Why? Because, and memorize this statement of St. Paul, where sin has abounded, their grace will even more abound. We, in our adulterous, lecherous, murderous, abortive, homosexual, sexually maniacal United States are being blessed with such graces from God, we can safely say, as our nation has never before received. So the graces are there. But all of this has one condition. We must become channels of this grace to our contemporaries by our, and I mean every syllable, by our love of the cross. Does not mean merely accepting the cross. Does not mean merely not resisting or resigning ourselves to the cross. It doesn't even just mean patiently enduring the cross. And my notes have it in capital letters with an exclamation mark. No! It means loving the cross. And believe me, I'm no pious fool. It means standing beside Mary on Calvary. She on her Calvary and we on ours. In the measure that we love the cross, because we love Jesus crucified, he will use us to bring his grace of conversion to the world at large and our own beloved United States. That is, breathing sin and even denies the existence of sin. This is one lecture I thought we should end with a prayer. Mary, Mother of Re-Evangelization, obtain for us from your divine Son to become more and more like you as channels of grace to a world that is walking in darkness and the shadow of death. We ask you to ask Jesus to make us chaste so we become channels of chastity to others, to make us selfless in our love, so we may become channels of charity to others, to make us truly humble of heart, so that we become channels of humility to others. But especially, we beg you to obtain from your Son a love of his cross, so we become channels of loving patience to others. Mary, Mother of Re-Evangelization, pray for us. Amen. Thank you for listening. Let's take a break. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Mary, Mother of the Americas,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.